And of course, our second chance hotline is 818-817-0021. Got a letter in. We got a huge prison population that listens to Coast. And I got a letter from one of the inmates that had a pretty good idea. He said, why don't you consider doing a show on prison and Ouija boards and, you know, haunted prisons and things like that? So we're kicking that around. That's not a bad idea. And right at the last line, he wrote and says, George, by the way, I want you to know I'm not one of those low-life prisoners, probably making reference to child molesters, which I don't want anything to do with. He said, I was convicted of drug conspiracies and bank robberies. So that's his situation. But our prison population listening to Coast is huge. Okay, we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, full board. Let's go to Indiana. Mary Jo, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Mary Jo.
How is everything with you?
All is well, thank you.
You probably would remember me. I was the person that did the, on the singing night, that you had to guess the song and the person that mm-hmm. was singing the song. And I was the one that did the Marlena Dietrich.
That was you.
That was me.
I know. I mentally recognize your voice.
Good. I've got a wonderful story. I have no doubt now in my mind that the dead can communicate. I moved to Pennsylvania. I was working for the VA hospitals. Mm-hmm. I moved from New York VA to Pennsylvania VA. And that particular summer, it was awfully dry. And they had gotten a gentleman to squirt the flowers in the grass to keep it alive. And my husband was... He was just absolutely entranced with the little birds, the little tiny birds, they fly real fast. You know which ones I mean.
Well, it's okay. Go ahead.
Well, anyway, as I was coming home, the grass was dry, and I asked the gentleman if he would flush down those. I had some red flowers in the front yard, and as I walked over toward the flowers where they was hummingbird, that's what it was. As I walked over toward the flowers, I said, oh, be careful, it looks like a bee.
Yeah, they do look like big bees, don't they?
And it was as tiny as my fingernail, and it was on my birthday.
Ooh, how cute.
And my husband was wild about the hummingbirds, because we had been to a friend's house and she had feeders all over, and you could actually see the eyelashes on them. it was so darling.
Did they have eyelashes?
They have eyelashes. And this one was so tiny. Well, recently I moved to Indiana and I fell down. Well, the first news I got was two parts of my heart weren't working.
Oh my God.
I've already had a bypass. So the doctor told me more or less, you've got just two parts of your heart are working.
Well, how many parts do you have?
Four.
Four parts, okay.
And two of them aren't working well. So on top of all that, I fell off a chair, passed out, hit my hip on the floor.
Mary Jo.
And fractured my hip. And so a friend took me over, called the ambulance, got me over to the hospital and everything. Well, when my friend was in New York, he passed, and I would take him to the hospital, and when I would go visit, I would always bring a funny card, and he'd laugh at him and anything to cheer him up.
Sure.
He was very ill.
That's nice of you.
And so I just collected all the cards, and I brought them home, and I had the cards on. I have the way my living room is set up, there's a kind of a day bed, and then at the end toward the back wall is like a dough box, and it's has a large drawer, and I kept all the things in the dough box, and there's nobody ever in this house except with me if they come to visit. with me, and they're not over on that end of the couch at all. Well, I came in after I got out of the hospital, and I came in, and there was a pink envelope on the floor, and on top of it was one of the cards I had sent him, and it was face up, and I looked down at it, and it said, "Get well soon."
This was a card you sent him?
Yes, and what? I had them in the drawer here.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I had them in the drawer, and no one was in the house. Nobody has a key. I live alone, and I don't go. I hadn't been in that drawer for a year.
So we know how it got there, don't we?
Yes.
He brought it. Hey, yes. What's one of your favorite songs?
Oh, boy.
That you know.
Oh, that I know?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to think of something real quick.
A short one.
Short one. Well, I can't think of anything right off the top.
See, you just skated by. I was going to have you sing a little quick one for me.
Yeah.
Maybe next time.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Right. Thank you for allowing me to take over your show. As you did. I was so surprised. It was so neat. Guess my age. That's something you could do.
You want me to guess your age?
Yeah.
Based on your voice and what I think?
Yes.
All right. This has nothing to do with how I think you may look or anything. I'm just guessing your age.
Guessing my voice.
I'd say 79.
Well, you're four off. I'm 75.
See? Not bad. That's close.
Just 75.
Pretty good. I would do well at a carnival, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
All right, Mary Jo. Thanks.
Okay.
Say hi to everybody out there in Indiana. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast.
How dare you, Mr. Norrie?
J.C.
Yes, it is I.
He is back from the hereafter. I thought you passed on.
Well, the rumors of my demise are greatly exaggerated. Let me tell you, God's 10-star general could not be destroyed, and the devil did try to destroy me, but you failed miserably, Satan. I cast you down under my heel. I tell you what, second chances, Mr. Norrie.
Yes, JC.
America is running out of second chances. I tell you, Pastor Chickenbone can't work up the nerve to burn a Koran, and he's wasting his time and wasting our time. Is he going to do it? Is he not going to do it? I tell you what. He's wheeling and dealing and trying to make deals with Muslims and Muslimism, and he won't step up to the plate when he should be burning Harry Potter books and all those awful books by Tess Garrison and others like her. Let me tell you what's going on.
What's been going on with you, JC?
What's been going on with me is I've been fighting the devil. I've been fighting the cultural corruption. America has turned into a horror house. It is horrible. And listen, Muslimism is the rest of the world is wiping their feet on us. The British are polluting our Gulf, and we do nothing about it. The Muslims
want to build a
victory mosque at Ground Zero, and we do nothing about it. We just sit back, and you know, the Iranians, they want to build nuclear bombs. I'll tell you what, if they want nuclear energy, I'll give you, here's a weather forecast that I think most of America wants to hear. Tomorrow in Tehran, sunny and a bit balmy, as in hydrogen bombs coming down.
JC, calm down.
How can I be calm when I see America being destroyed, Mr. Norrie?
JC, calm down. First of all, your biggest issue should be to find your girlfriend, Edna.
Oh, I'm looking for Edna. And to that end, I have said, yes, I'm looking for Edna. And we say, I for the longest time, have tried to stay away from the devil web. But it came to my attention that there are fraudulators out there.
Well, there are many.
Yes, many. So I have put together a team. The Lord came to me and did say unto thee, he said, put together a team, then reclaim that space. So if people want to email me at boilingpitsofsewage@yahoo.com, that's boilingpitsofsewage@yahoo.com, they can find the links to the Twitter feed, because that's going to help us find Edna.
You mean you now are Twittering?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
I have joined the 21st Century War. And it's information, George. And I tell you, this is the problem, is that people don't understand that Muslims, the majority of Muslims, I think you'd agree, are more godly than most Americans.
I would agree with that.
They say we don't want some religious nuts telling us how to dress our women, but they'll let Hollywood dress them. They'll let those filthy magazines dress your women and tell them what to wear, what to eat, how to look, put plastic things on their nails, have the porn star blonde hair looking like a hussy going down the street, cover it up. I mean, for God's sake, could you blame the rest of the world for thinking that America's just a whorehouse and a doormat when we got the Marines, the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force on chains and we won't let those dogs loose? I'll tell you what, we need to let them go. If they riot, we need, what we need is a new world war. I'll tell you what, and if we get God on our side, we can win.
Well, I kind of agree with you on that part.
But, George, listen, what if...
This, you know, that's the first time you've called me, George, tonight. You've said it twice in 8 years.
Well, yes, don't get...
You're beginning to like me, aren't you?
How dare you insinuate such a thing? Listen, I don't cavort with criminals. Now, listen, let me tell you something, Mr. Norrie.
Yes.
My fear...
Yes.
Now, don't tell anyone, is that the Muslims, if they discover the new revelation and get right with God, they could become God's new favorite people. Because in this Pastor Chickenbone, I bet he hasn't even read a Quran. I've read the Quran, and there's a whole section. Did you know there's a whole section in there on how to tame women?
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes.
So really, in part, I'm going to incorporate part of that in the new revelation, but we got to make sure that America gets right with God before the Muslims do, or they're going to win.
And now tell me about Edna. What's going on there? I'm getting emails that she got married to this biker.
No. There was no wedding. There was no wedding.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Why?
Because
did she try to communicate with you?
We've had some limited communications. There might be a reunification in the future, and we are working really hard to bring Edna back. So glad that you asked, because...
She's been gone 2 years now.
Well, and that, yes, and there's a lot of cooking and a lot of cleaning that needs to get done here at the compound. And I tell you,
Let me ask you this, JC. Let's assume she's listening right now. What do you want to tell her? Go ahead. Have a few moments.
Edna, get off that bike. Put down your will and get back to work at the compound. You need to come back and do the Lord's will. Just like I tell America, you need to submit your will and come back to work and put to work for God. See, God does not like idle hands. And he will cause trouble with you if you don't get right with him.
So how do they find you on Twitter, Jason?
Well, they have to go to boilingpitsofsewage@yahoo.com and they send me an email. And I will be taking confessions and praying over them. And there's a fraudulator out there, and I'm not going to say who it is, but if you write me at boilingpitsofsewage@yahoo.com, you'll get the right information. And we even have a page up where we're going to be doing the new revelation chapter by chapter on BoobTube or whatever they call it.
YouTube.
Yes, YouTube. It's the real J.C. Webster.
So why don't you come over to my side, J.C.?
You mean join your criminal syndicate?
Not my syndicate, not the dark side, side of righteousness.
I am on the side of righteousness. How dare you? Haven't you been listening to what I've been trying to
yes,
say?
Yes, J.C.
You're the one who's corrupted Ian to where you've got him talking in tongues, zerping out, making no sense at all.
Got to run, J.C. We've got other calls. There he is, good old J.C. back from the dead. I truly thought something was wrong and he was gone. But he's back. We'll go to Keith in Missouri, east of the Rockies. Hey, Keith, how are you?
Good. How are you tonight, George?
Okay, he's one of a kind, isn't he?
Wow. You know, I think I know JC.
Good luck.
And I thought he died, too.
Oh.
I'm sitting out here in the country, and I've been listening to you for, I don't know, a couple of weeks. I didn't have an AM radio for quite a while, so I couldn't listen, and I was sitting out here listening, and I heard you guys talking about the vibrating sensation people get in their backs that think they've been abducted.
Yeah.
I get that same sensation, but it's in my hips. I think my cell phone's going off a lot.
Like it's tingling, right?
Yeah, just like my cell phone's vibrating, and I'll reach in my pocket, and, you know, sometimes it's even on the other side, and, you know, there's nothing going on.
Well, I've got to tell you, this is weird. I've been getting that same sensation on the right side of my hip as well. There's nothing wrong with me. I mean, there's nothing wrong with me. And it's weird because, I've got this new Droid X phone, and it's too big to just, like, keep in your pocket like that. There's nothing there. And I'm saying, this is the weirdest thing. It feels like my old cell phone. Because I used to have a smaller flip phone, and I'd put it on vibrate, I'd put it in my pocket, but it's not there anymore. It's a strange feeling.
Yeah, it happens to me quite often, and it's been going on for years.
I wonder if we're getting some kind of message or something.
You know, and that kind of plays into why I'm calling tonight. Earlier, it was 2 weeks ago, I was sitting out here and I saw something streak through the sky, and in the very middle of it, it was white and it faded out to silver, and it shattered and it looked like pieces of it went everywhere, and then it streaked on for another maybe a half a mile in the sky. And I live about 50 miles from the Air Force Base in Knob Noster. So that kind of, you know, I kind of pulled my car up because I always sit at the end of the driveway and listen to you. And about 10 minutes after that, a bunch of cars started streaming down the gravel road right across from mine and going toward it.
Dark cars too, right?
Yeah, I couldn't see anything except for some bright taillights, and that was about it. And so I went in like any other normal night, went in, went to bed. The next night I was sitting there and that feeling started happening as I was sitting here listening to the show. And I turned it down and checked my phone. My phone didn't go off. And then all of a sudden I just started thinking about abductions and, you know, why people are starting to be abducted more and more often, it seems like. And it just somehow formulated a theory as to that we're somewhat of a science project to higher beings. We're just basically set out here in our own solar system, and they come and check on us, check our bodies to see how we're doing, and, you know, to see how we're growing as a civilization, and it's not looking good.
See, I think if they're up to something, it's not any good.
Yeah.
I
feel the same way.
Yeah, something's cooking. Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
All right, my friend. That's Keith in Missouri. Let's go to Elena in the city of New York on our Second Chance line. Hi there, Elena.
Hi, George. I'm still laughing from JC.
Oh, he is something else, huh?
Yes.
I mean, if you were Edna, would you go back to him?
I don't know why she was with him in the first place.
I agree. So a second chance, huh? Wow. Tell me about it.
Well, I got one too, just like the last second chance caller. And, well, not just, with different chances, but I about 10 years or so ago, I was in a really, really serious depression to where it even affected me physically. And I thought my life was pretty much over. I live in New York City, and I thought I was going to have to move back to Delaware, where I'm from, and be taken care of by my parents. And this went on for several months. I couldn't work or anything. And I made a deal. I love making deals with my higher power. I made a deal that if I got through it alive and sane, I would follow my dreams, because I figured I sort of lost everything. I could start over, and I'd always wanted to have a rock band. And I did get through it, and I wound up just scheduling my life so that I could rehearse. I wound up meeting people. I'd never done this before.
This is great.
I mean, I'm musical.
Do you sing, play an instrument? What do you do?
I sing. I play the flute, which is absolutely no good in a rock band.
It sounds great.
I write songs, and I've been writing them for years and just kind of keeping them in my head. And I hear the bass line, I hear the chords, and I just need people to, I tell other people what to play, and I just sort of hum the parts and they play them. And
that's cool.
I just started meeting people out of the blue, out of nowhere. I got a producer. I got a whole band together from out of nothing.
Good for you.
A couple months. It was amazing. And we wound up, and there's a whole 9/11 tie-in. We wound up through a series of coincidences that I know aren't coincidences because I listen to you, that we wound up being in the recording studio on September 11th, just like 20 blocks from the Trade Center. And I just by a fluke almost was down there this morning because a friend of mine, actually a guy that some of these songs were written about that we were recording.
Good for you.
Who was an ex-boyfriend. He's a Wall Street guy. I wanted to borrow some money from him to finish the recording session. I went to call him the night before to see it, and a couple other times I'd borrowed money from him. I would meet him on the plaza there like at 10 at night.
Well, let me tell you, I'm glad you got the second chance. We're at the break. We'll be back. Okay, let's go west of the Rockies. It's Nathan's turn, Riverside, California. Hey, Nathan, thanks for holding.
Hi, George.
Hi.
I'm calling tonight to ask your opinion on something.
Okay, I'll do the best I can to help you.
I was wondering, do you believe that the Bible forbids induced out-of-body experiences?
Boy, I would not know if it does or if it doesn't, Nathan, honestly. Okay?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know if the Bible has ever said anything about OBEs at all. We'll go to Skype. Ted is in New York on Coast to Coast. Hi, Ted.
Oh, good evening, George, or good morning. I talked to you before about Bigfoot, but I had to talk to you about cursed cars.
Cursed, yeah, like Christina from the Stephen King movie in the book, huh?
Yeah, well, I had, this is back in 87. I was commuting. I had a 90-mile trip to work every day. And so I bought one of these domestic high mileage mini cars.
Okay.
And I used to, that car, the 9 months that I had it, ran over two raccoons, two dogs, a skunk, and a few birds that I hit in the grill. Well, it ended up, about the 9th month I was driving it, I had a head-on collision with it, and I was out of work for 5 months. Yes, cars can be cursed.
Get rid of that car, did you?
Oh, well, it was totaled. I fell asleep at the wheel and went head-on into a parked car.
Oh, my God. I wonder if any of those parts of the car are now in other cars.
I don't know, but I hope they crushed it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I know. I know the feeling.
Oh, boy. But I've talked to you before about Bigfoot, and I tell you what, tonight all your callers have touched on something that I've always experienced, but I don't want to go into it because I know you got other, but your friend, the one that's paralyzed?
Yeah.
I was listening to that night, the night that you broadcasted, he had fallen the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, everyone, I think about it, I say a prayer for him.
Well, thank you very much, Ted. Appreciate it. I mean, his spirits are strong. You know, I couldn't stay that strong. You know, if I was, you know, in bed for 1 year, totally paralyzed, I'm not sure I could have the kind of strength and attitude he has. I mean, it truly is marvelous there. Westminster, California, we go. It's Lisa's turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, I keep thinking about that story from last week with the guy in the restaurant, and somebody said if only he'd asked for help, people would have given him money or bought him some food.
Bought him some food, sure thing.
Yeah, I only hope that's true. But unfortunately, from a lot of what I've seen, people are reluctant to help these days. I think we've gone a little too far with this idea that you shouldn't help people. You're only helping them. You're only hurting them by helping them. There's this saying, if you give somebody a fish, you feed them for 1 day. If you teach them to fish, you feed them for a lifetime. We're not giving people a fish for the day, and we're not teaching them to fish. We're not really helping out our neighbor, I don't think, the way we should.
I don't think somebody would have bought him, for example, a full-course meal, Lisa, but I think they would have helped him. I'm sure the restaurant would have, because I know those people really well. They would have given him some bread and some food, and, you know, he would have gone off on his merry way. But, you know, he sat down, had a full meal, and enjoyed himself, and then off he ran.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a lot of sympathy for that, but if he'd asked for help, I only hope I would have given him a little something, and I hope other people would have too. I just think we've gotten too unwilling to help.
What do you do when you know you pull up to a stoplight, and you've got that person on the side of the road with one of those signs, you know? That just simply says, you know, we'll work for money, or, you know, we'll work for food, or, you know, can you give me a handout? Do you ever give them any money?
I've handed them a little something. I can't do too much myself, but I've handed them a little something when I could. And, you know, there's no doubt there are a few scam artists out there, but most people are not out there doing that unless they have to be. And I'd like to know who'd hire somebody you know, everybody else get a job, but I don't know if that person walked in and applied for a job, would you say, oh, I'm going to hire you, or would you say, I want somebody a little better, with better clothes, better resume, you've been out of work for a while, I want the former CEO of a corporation or somebody with an MBA or, you know, you just don't look like the kind of person to attract customers into our business. So we're not going to hire you. I just think that's how some employers think.
Well, I think you're right. I don't think an employer would hire a homeless person like that for their company. I just don't think they would do that.
No, it's a shame. Somebody should definitely hire people who are looking for work.
Well, you know, it depends. I'm sure some of them get hired for some jobs. They're probably, you know, doing something, but in terms of a high level job or something, I mean, I don't even think there are those jobs available for people who are in suits or whatever, you know?
No, there are not many jobs to go around anymore. So we really ought to think about it before we just, you know, get a job and don't help at all.
Yeah, some people do that. They're kind of rude.
Yeah.
They're kind of rude. They don't know what it's like to be down in their luck. You know, for somebody to stay at a corner of a street for hours at end and beg for money or whatever, they're pretty destitute. I'm sure there's a couple people out there who might be lazy and they just want to scam people, and maybe they make some money doing that. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. It looks like work anyway, standing out there. I don't think they're that lazy. I think they can't find any other work, most of them.
We'll probably find out it's a huge corporation and they're making millions across the country doing this.
Oh, yeah, right.
They're all CIA members or something, and it goes into the black ops budget. That's the conspiracy. Yeah. All right.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Thanks, Lisa.
Yeah, well, thank you.
All right, next up, let's go to Steve in Fayette, Iowa, on the wild card line. Steve, how are you?
Hi, George. How you doing?
Okay.
Hey, for the one girl who said there's no flute in a rock and roll band, tell her to listen to California Dreamin'.
Really?
Yep.
All right.
Big flute solo in that.
Okay, then,
no.
That was a great song.
Yeah, you've got to listen to one the Mamas and the Papas did.
Whereabouts in the song is that?
It's toward the end before they repeat the last verse.
All right. We'll let her know that.
All right. If she's listening, that's what you can do.
All right. You got it. That's a deal. Sid in Edmonton, you're up with us. Hey, Sid, welcome.
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
I'm an immortal. I figured there's nothing else to do on Friday night, so I'd call in.
You're immortal.
Yes, I am.
How old are you?
About 500 years old or so.
Now, what's it been like for 500 years? I mean, are you glad you're immortal?
I'm not quite sure. It gets really boring.
You would think after a while. I mean, have you been married 40 times or anything like that?
A few times.
So do you outlive your children? I wouldn't want to do that.
Oh, well, it happens, you know, you get this age.
You mean your kids aren't immortal?
No.
Just you. Now, how did you become immortal, Sid?
I'm not sure. It's one day I woke up. I don't know what happened. I was in the street.
So you were born around 1510.
I guess when you get at this age, it's...
Where were you born?
Well...
Sid?
I'm not even sure anymore.
You can't remember? I guess that happens with old age, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And when you're 500, you really have...
It just doesn't...
I guess nothing works at 500.
Once you start learning new things, it pushes the other things out.
But you're immortal. Are you spiritual?
I am, but I'm not sure if that really matters.
Well, you must have one heck of a wardrobe by now.
No, you can't do that. You can't. You have to move.
You go to different places?
Of course, I mean...
Do you go to different countries or just different cities?
I don't know. There's a lot of different cities and there's a lot of different places, so
you can't
stay in one place for too long.
How many years have you been in Canada?
I'd say about maybe 70, maybe.
70 years. And how many jobs have you had in these 500 years?
I can't even remember now.
Do you age at all, or do you just, I mean, how old do you look?
I look about maybe 25.
And you just stay at that rate?
Yes. That's why I have to move.
And then you just keep going to different places. Because your friends get old. Everybody gets old, and you keep going.
Yes, they do.
Well, what do you
think? I stay the same rate.
Well, you must.
So you can't really.
But you've seen it all, Sid. You've seen it all. I mean, you've seen the ups and downs on this planet. You've seen 500 years of things happening on this planet.
Yes, I have. And what I really like, I like the wars, and I like the art.
Why do you like the wars?
Well, when you're this age, not much entertains you, really.
So wars now? You enjoy hearing about the wars, I guess, huh?
It's weird seeing how they progress from the gas.
You're not a vampire.
World War One.
Are you a vampire?
No.
You've just immortal. And your parents, were they immortal?
I don't know.
They're not with us anymore, are they?
I might have had parents, but that was a long, long time ago.
All right. Well, Sid, you check in with me in the next 200 years. We'll still be here. And let us know how things are going. You know, I just about believe the guy. That's what's so scary. Sherry is in Auburn, Washington on the wild card line. Don't tell me you're 500 years old, Sherry.
No, I'm crazy and know it. So. I'm also, this must be the night because I'm a first-time caller. Also, it's the first time I ever tried to call, although I've just had the desire billions of times.
Well, good. I'm glad you made it. I mean, it's hit and miss. We've added a few more lines, though, so maybe that's helped some people.
That's nice. I've been listening. I listened years ago for Art to Art Bell, and then I thought Coast to Coast was gone. And then I was going to the radio one night, and I heard the music and the voice, and I've been hooked ever since.
It almost was gone a few years ago, about 9 years ago, but we've resurrected it. It came back strong. There was a moment when Art left, and it kind of hit the bottom, and then it started zooming back up again.
When Art left, I thought it was gone. I didn't hear it for a long time.
Yeah. He was here, but we lost a lot of affiliates then, and now we're at the highest peak we've ever been. So all is well.
Well, I'm glad. I was, you know, telling the lady, she asked me what I want to talk about. I said second chances and lucid dreaming, and then all these calls come in. I think, oh, my God, this is wonderful, except for a couple of fruitcakes.
Just different. That's
that's why I love your show. Anyway, as far as lucid dreaming, I have post-traumatic stress disorder. I had years as a child and in my first marriage of really horrible physical and emotional abuse.
Okay.
And a lot of you know, my life I found in dreams and in books.
That's where you escaped.
Right. And when I was a very young child, I could fly in my dreams, and I can't do that now. I wish I could. But when I was about 12 or 13, I had a nice dream. I actually had a wonderful romantic kind of dream. I can't really remember it very well, except it included Yul Brynner, and I fell in love with him when I was about 8. But
I loved him in The King and I.
Oh, God, he was so good. He was good in everything he did. But when I woke up, you know, the dream was over, and I was, like, really depressed. I was always depressed anyway. But that next night when I went to sleep, my dream started right where it left off. And for the next 2 weeks, I rushed home from school and got to sleep as soon as I could after chores, and my dream continued right where I left off the night before it continued.
That's perfect. How cool is that?
It was so wonderful, and then it stopped, and, oh, I wish I could do that again, although I might be sleeping as much as my doctor tells me I should. But one thing I still can do, so sometimes, not all the time, because I still have horrible nightmares and dreams. But there are times when I can actually, for instance, I have a recurrent dream that includes drowning, and sometimes drowning in the ocean or drowning in mud or even more horrible things. But instead of panicking and waking up in panic, I can actually, like if I'm under the water, tell myself I can breathe under the water. And I start breathing under the water while I work my way out.
Really?
And so that's something that I can't do it every time, but I've been able to do it more and more often as the years have passed. And so that's been a real lifesaver. And the other thing one person mentioned was probably just like, you know, the story, they say, if you die in your dream, you really die.
Well, if you fall in a dream and you hit the bottom, the myth has always been you'll die in your sleep.
Well, yeah. How would they know that if they're dead and they can't tell you?
Well, that's the thing. When people die in your sleep, here's an interesting paradox. Listen to this. A lot of people die in their sleep, right? Mm-hmm. They go to bed. They just don't wake up. They're dead.
Which is
how do we know they didn't dream of falling and they hit the bottom and died?
Yeah, we don't.
We know that.
Did. But in Alabama, they used to say, if you actually got killed in your dream, you would die.
But, I mean, what if, though, you hit the bottom in your dream and you wake up, then you know you didn't die.
Right. And that's what my story gets to, is I had someone tell me that once in a conversation, and I tried to tell them that wasn't true, that the dying in your dream did not mean you actually died, because being someone who has been very suicidal for many years and even tried a few times in the past, I had a dream where I actually took a shotgun and put it to my head and pulled the trigger, and I could feel my head explode, and I woke up, and I had a headache for like 3 days, a horrible headache, but I was alive.
That's great.
So, that's been, and as far as having a second chance at things, I've often thought, what would I do different? Because if I could start at 13, my first choice would be I would never get married. But then I realize the things I have done since, you know, in the last 40 years, I helped develop one of the earliest battered women shelters in this country.
Good for you.
70s, and I've been in social services and counseling, and I struggle with this mental illness, this depression, anxiety, but I know I've helped people, friends and families, and I keep thinking, well, if I go back and make my life change better, what about the people I have helped?
Well, you remember the old movie, It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart, and had he not been born, how many people were affected by the fact that he wasn't around? I'm not sure we can all get a second chance, but we do learn our lessons when we move forward. We'll be back in a moment. One more hour to go with Open Lines, and yes, we'll keep the second chance line open. We'll be right back.